Welcome to another segment of the Agricultural Market Viewpoint. This is a podcast where we reflect on various themes influencing the agricultural economy here at home in South Africa and beyond our borders. Folks, it's Sunday, November 3rd, and in this week's podcast, I want to focus on the livestock and poultry industry. Because over the past 3 or 4 years, the South African livestock and poultry industry have experienced a major challenge of animal diseases. Throughout this period, we've had various cases of the foot and mouth disease in cattle, African swine fever in pigs, and avian influenza in poultry. And all of these have had significant cost to the farmers at a production level, but also cost farmers in terms of their export potential losses. And if you think about the livestock industry, we are now at a time where the cattle industry within livestock had been trying to put itself into a position where we can be a fully established exporter of red meat or beef to the world market. And for some time, we've managed to actually make some inroads. Because in the early 2000s, for example, the South African cattle industry was exporting less than 10,000 tons of beef. And you fast forward to around about 2016, where we're exporting close to 40,000 tons of beef a year, which means then that we were actually making inroads. And we're making these inroads on both frozen beef and fresh beef. Almost half by half of those exports was frozen beef as well as the fresh beef, and going to a range of markets in the Middle East, within the region, and elsewhere in the world. But whenever you experience animal diseases, that tends to be a bit of a snag on that, because various countries begin to block your exports temporarily until you are cleared of these diseases. And the process of clearing of these diseases could take some time, depending about how swift the country is able to control the spread thereafter a particular period that is required before you resume the export markets more broadly. And in South Africa, as we were gaining this momentum, over the past 3 or 4 years, we began to see regular occurrence of these diseases. And this put us on the back foot when you are thinking about our ambition of establishing ourselves as the beef exporter into a range of markets. And certainly some people have read about the inroads we are making in the Saudi Arabian markets, Qatar markets, and many others that have been publicized. But all of these wouldn't be as a robust success without us getting control of the animal diseases. And in 2022, things even became worse in South Africa, because for the first time, 6 of our 9 provinces reported the outbreak of the foot and mouth disease in the cattle industry. And it became clear to us that there are some weaknesses on the biosecurity controls as well as the surveillance of these diseases, as it quickly spread into even the provinces that would ordinarily not report some of these outbreaks. The other challenge that South Africa faced is that we have some weaknesses on the veterinarian side, as well as the related support service in the labs that produce vaccines and many others. And all of this left us quite exposed into some of these diseases. And in the poultry industry, last year, we recorded some of the segments of this podcast where we're reflecting about the major spread of the avian influenza in a number of regions in South Africa and the cost that has had into the farming operation. So these are all of the challenges that we're struggling with. But I must say, though, that animal diseases are not something that is unique to South Africa, although South Africa's weaknesses in the biosecurity control and surveillance for some time was a contributing factor to this. But if you talk to people in China, they will tell you about how much impact the African swine fever had had in their pig industry. You talk to various people in Europe, you will see how wide the impact of avian influenza, and the same story with the US. So with climate change and all of the variations that we are seeing in terms of extreme hotness, extreme heat, extreme colds, all of these are adding, perhaps, I suspect, I'm an economist, I don't know, scientists will tell us more, but I think they are contributing to some of the widespread of the diseases and the outbreaks that we see regularly occurring to a number of areas. But now, if you look at the statistics on the exports, on what happened then in South Africa since we reported some of these diseases, take for example 2022, which was very difficult for the cattle industry. That year, we saw beef exports in South Africa declining by 16% year on year, and really just over 26,000 tons that we exported. And this was again because of those closures of the of export markets, but also certain regulations that were placed domestically in an effort to try to control the movement of animals, certain activity in some feedlots. All of this led to that lower volume that we were able to export to the market. But the impact was not limited there. The entire livestock industry struggled. Even the sheep farmers, who had no foot and mouth disease, but they were also impacted by what happened and how the various markets in the world reacted. South Africa is a net exporter on wool, and about 70% of our wool exports go to China. And China, then, the biggest market for us, placed also a temporary closure on the South African wool. And they were fearing about all of the news that they were reading related to the foot and mouth disease. And as a result, in 2022, we saw South Africa's wool exports falling by 19% year on year, exporting just around about 42,000 tons. And again, this had a significant impact on the wool industry and many medium and small scale farmers that benefit through these exports activity in the wool. And livestock and poultry is an important subsector in the South African farming economy. So whenever it faces some of these challenges, the impact is usually spread across the industry, because about half of our farming economy is, quite frankly, livestock and poultry. So, and the other important aspect is the fact that when you are thinking about the inclusion of black farmers and you're looking at the subsectors on saying which ones have made significant inroads on that, you will notice that black farmers, for example, in the wool production, they account for about 18% at a commercial level, in mohair about 13%, in cattle about 34%. So when there are all of these headwinds in the various export markets, this means also that our efforts to build transformation and inclusion of black farmers into the commercial level, that ambition is also slowed. So this just signifies the impact that these animal diseases would have, not only on exports, but also on the domestic policy and our ambition about building a unified agricultural sector. But all of this, though, also awakened a sense of urgency amongst the private sector participants in South Africa and the government to say, we need to get a handle of this. And the effort started as far back as 2022, continued all the way into 2023. And in fact, by 2023, we were already seeing some positive gains of that, because China, for example, in the wool farmers, it began reopening its export markets and resuming certain protocols that were put in place to say, look, if we get the foot and mouth disease in South Africa, you don't need to shut off the wool farmers. If this is a challenge for cattle farmers, these are some of the methods and the way at which we can handle this wool to ensure that it arrives in China, arrives in a safe condition. And China was open to that. And as a result, if you looked at our exports of wool in 2023, they recovered by 18%. And we saw now our wool exports just under 50,000 tons, which is a good improvement, almost as back to the levels before the widespread outbreaks of these diseases. In the cattle industry, we also saw a slight recovery, with exports rising 3% year on year, with just under 28,000 tons. So there were already some good things that are happening there. And in part, it's because of the efforts that the private sector and the government leading on making sure that they are controlling the spread of these animal diseases. But there's even now more positive news, because on the 25th of October, the Department of Agriculture released an important piece of news where they said, look, foot and mouth disease outbreak that occurred between 2021, 2022, and continued in 2023 in parts of the Northwest, Free State, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, has now been cleared. We are back now into making sure that those provinces continue to participate in exports and do other things in a more rigorous way. The provinces that remain with the challenge is KZN and of course the Eastern Cape. Eastern Cape being quite in a difficult position because this is not a province that receives foot and mouth disease, but this year there were reported cases in the dairy facilities in the Humanstop area of the province. So right now the government has put all of the methods to ensure that they control that and manage so that we are able to get out of this challenging situation. But even more encouraging, the World Organization for Animal Health also said, look, these provinces are cleared, which is those of the Northwest, Free State, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and they can continue now to participate in the export markets, which again then reinforces the point that we are back in the game when we are thinking about rebuilding the export ambition in the red meat and indeed the beef industry in South Africa. So this is an admirable progress, which means then that what South Africa needs now is continuously put effort into strengthening the monitoring, the surveillance, but also the vaccine production. And I think this means or entails reviving the efficiency at the ARC, the Agricultural Research Council, but also the OBP for the vaccine production, so that when we see these outbreaks in future, because they will happen in future, we are well equipped to be able to deal with some of these things, because the livestock industry is super important to South Africa's agriculture. So when I'm thinking about this sector, there isn't anything that is as important as thinking about the livestock and the animal health, because much of the transformation, much of the growth that we will see, even in some of the new land that is yet to be put in food production, will actually be for the livestock industry. And as a country, we better make sure that we have all of the things in place to control the diseases so that we are able to produce and produce efficiently, producing for the export markets. And I think what we have experienced over the past few years provide us with the learning pad so that we can be able to extract a few lessons on that and ensure that going forward, we are well equipped to deal with some of the outbreaks. But I think more importantly, at a softer levels, the collaboration between the private sector and the government on managing these animal diseases is also an important thing. I mean, organizations like the Red Meat Producers Organization, the RMIS, the Red Meat Industry Services, the Animal Health Forum, and many others have been at the forefront collaborating with the government on addressing some of these challenges. And I think we only just need to see those efforts continuing and accelerating. And most importantly, this is also one of the pieces of the puzzle when you are reading South Africa's Agriculture and the Agro-Processing Master Plan. One of the levers that is there is on making sure that we build a resilient and a robust livestock and a poultry industry. And part and parcel of that is dealing with the animal diseases. And that offers a pathway for us to build on these steps that have already been taken. But I think it's important news, and it's important that we highlight that the government and the industry effort to control the animal diseases must be lauded, and they are paying off, because now we are seeing some areas being cleared out. But I think going forward, also the farmers have to be paying the most care on ensuring that we don't get to see some of these outbreaks. They control the movement of people and everything else within their facilities so that we stay on this pathway of a recovery, which is quite promising for South Africa. Because the livestock industry has not only struggled with the animal diseases, one of the things that we also struggled with is higher feed prices. So you had a situation where there were higher feed prices, there were animal diseases, and there were all of these mid-summer drought, which all made the environment quite difficult for the producers in these areas. So what we see now with the return potentially of the good rainfall and the recovery on agriculture and the recovery on grazing felt, while at the same time the diseases are being cleared out, these are all the steps that show the industry that could be in a recovery pathway for now on going forward. And folks, I thought it's important that this week I take a bit of time and highlight all of these, because these are important gains that I think should be covered and be put out there so that people know that there are encouraging steps that are being taken on the path forward and the industry is on a recovery mode. And with that, folks, let me thank you for listening to this week's segment. My name is Wandile Sihlobo. I'm an agricultural economist based in Pretoria, South Africa. You can read some of the things that I write in my blog, The link for my blog is in the description of this podcast. And also follow me on socials at Wandi Lesihlobo, and follow this podcast on socials at Mkokeli Podcast, as well as our publisher for this podcast, The Financial Mail. Thank you so very much for listening.